ओम गणकनाम रचनाकनाशलकय Kalin Alpena Rajarshe. What does Kala mean?
Time.
Alpa. Kalena Alpa. Within a very short time. Rajarshe, O King. Ramakrishna Chagokule. Balaram and Krishna in Gokul, in the village of Gokul, Agrista Janubi, without the help of crawling on their knees. Before we heard how Rama and Krishna were crawling on their knees, like what? They would crawl in a crooked way like
snakes.
And what else did they do? They would follow the ankle bells, and they'd find out, oh, these aren't our mothers, and they go running to their mothers, causing their mothers so much pleasure. So without the help of crawling on their knees, Padbir, by their legs alone, Vichakramatu, Anjasa, they began to walk very easily. In the next verse, I'll read the English translation. O King Prickit, within a very short time, both Ram and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokul on their legs by their own strength without the need to crawl. Tatastu Bhagavan Krishna. Thereafter, because we have to be reminded that this isn't just ordinary crawling and ordinary walking. This is Bhagavan Krishna. He who possesses all opulence to their full is now walking. This is quite astounding. Quite astounding. He who is unlimitedly powerful could not walk before, because when a baby just crawls, it means that his legs are not strong enough for him to walk yet. But now, due to the aging of his body, he's gotten more strength in his legs so he can walk. How is this possible that he's the absolute truth? How is it possible? How difficult is it to understand these pastimes of Krishna? Kritta punja punja. One has to be so unlimitedly pious and fortunate to understand the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Braja. Very, very difficult. Even religionists, they must conceive of God as practically formless. Practically speaking, they cannot conceive, give any specific qualities to God. Or they'll tend to think of him as an old man, because by definition he's the creator, and the creator has to be old because he created everything. So he must be so old, so God must be an old man. But here, what an incredible conception of Bhagavan, of the Supreme Lord, of the Parameshwara, the Parabrahman. He is revealing of himself. How incredible this is. So, Krishna, with Vayasya Vraja Balakai. Balak means ki?
Bacha.
Yeah, bacha. Means just boys. With his friends, Vraja Balakai, Krishna, at this point, soon as he began to be able to walk, then his friends of the same age who were also walking, they could do things together. And this is what happens in the community, when the in a village community. As soon as you can begin to walk, you meet other friends your own age and you have playmates and really enjoy. Sarama Brajastrinam Chikride Janayan Mudam. And by the playing of Rama and Krishna, Balaram and Krishna, then all the ladies of Braja, Brajastrinam, they, what happened within them is just dealing with Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys, and they weren't cowherd boys yet, they were just little crawling, walking boys. The ladies got incredible happiness just from watching the dealings and interacting with Krishna and Balaram in this way. Saharama, Prabhupada explains in the purport, means along with Balaram. That's significant because in these transcendental pastimes, Krishna is the chief hero. So along with Rama, Krishna is the chief, along with Balaram. And Balaram, Prabhupada explains, provides additional help in the pastimes. So Krishna is the Braja Nayaka. He is the hero of Braja. Krishnasya Gopyo Ruchiram Viksha Komara Chapalam Shrinvantya Kila Tanmatur Iti Hochu Samagataha. Observing the very attractive childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood, to hear about Krishna's activities, would again and again they would approach Mother Yasoda and speak to her as follows. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Very short purport. Krishna's activities are always very attractive to devotees. Therefore, the neighbors who are friends of Mother Yasoda inform Mother Yasoda of whatever they saw Krishna doing in the neighborhood. Mother Yasoda, just to hear about the activities of her son, stopped her household duties and enjoyed the information given by the neighborhood friends. But this information about what Krishna was doing was very... they were reports, because Krishna was restless. What does it mean, Krishna was restless? Huh? Always acting. When a young boy is very active like that, one can be sure his activities will be extremely
mischievous.
So naughty. And because Krishna is the topmost restless and the topmost of everything, he's also the topmost naughty. And we're going to hear now how the cowherd ladies, they would get so much pleasure by pouring into the ear of Mother Yasoda all the very naughty activities that Krishna would perform. Very naughty. How do you say naughty? Mangala. What's the word?
Dusty.
Yeah? That's a strong word? Even for a little boy. And restless? Restless? Meaning always moving? Huh? Oh, yes, naughty, rascal, something like that. Same word in Bengali as Hindi?
Same
word, but naughty. So this is, so to the 28th verse, which we just read, just before the elderly gopis, the gopis, motherly gopis, begin complaining about naughty Krishna. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Seeing the naughty pastimes of Krishna and enjoying them very much, ruchiram. Ruchi means getting a very, very ruchiram, getting great pleasure and taste from watching Krishna. perform these childish pastimes in the dust of Gokul. So enjoying this, the gopis in the neighborhood would approach Yashoda and tell her what they saw. When they would gather in Yashoda's house, Yashoda would stop her many household chores and listen to the activities of her child. On the pretext of remanding her, they would be chastising almost Yashoda. Not really, but they'd be complaining about Krishna's naughty activities. But this was a pretext. They would come in to complain about Krishna to Mother Yashoda. Look what your boy is doing. He's causing so much trouble in the neighborhood. He's done this and this. But this was just a way that they could speak about Krishna and relish transcendental happiness. And also, it was a way to give Mother Yashoda so much happiness. So in this way, on the pretext of reprimanding her for not controlling her restless son, the gopis would give great joy to Mother Yashoda. This is the 29th text. This is what they would say. Our dear friend Yashoda, this is what Krishna would do. Your son, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, how difficult it is to understand Krishna consciousness. This is the activities, the extremely naughty activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is in the most intimate quarters of his home, so to speak, with his most intimate devotees, just like Prabhupada told the story of the great British Prime Minister whose name was Disraeli. And one time a minister from a very important minister from another country had made an appointment to see Disraeli. When was Disraeli the Prime Minister of England? Anyone know? How long ago?
Second half of the last century. Not 10th century.
Yeah, so quite a while ago, 150 years. So a very important minister had made an appointment to see Disraeli. And of course he came on time. And he was told to sit down. The Prime Minister is quite busy right now, but as soon as he's free, he'll come and see you. And you can go in and see him. So 5 minutes passed, and then 10 minutes passed, and 20 minutes passed, and a half hour passed. And this very important minister was becoming impatient, because he had many things to do too. So finally, after being saying, don't worry, just wait a few more minutes, he's coming. After 45 minutes and then an hour, he went to the door and he wanted to see, what is he doing that's so important that he's keeping me waiting so long? And he looked through the keyhole and he saw that the Prime Minister, Disraeli, was on all four legs, on his hands and legs, and his grandson was riding him on his back as if he was a horse. So just imagine, in Parliament, the great Disraeli walks in and he gives a report of his daily activities. Could he say in that setting, my grandson was riding me like I was a horse, like this, and this was for the pleasure I'm getting from that, the intimacy of the loving pleasure, the little boy is riding on my back, and he's the one making the armies charge and attack this place and control this place and making the great foreign policy. Could he announce these things even in Parliament? No. These things are only for the very intimate family members. The most intimate, the ones who know him most intimately can understand these things. No one else, it's a conflict with their relationship with him. So similarly, these pastimes of Krishna that are written here are so confidential that no one should speak about them. Secret. So no one should talk about these things. Indeed, even though I'm saying that in a joking way, it's recommended that one read the first 9 cantos very carefully and come to the conclusions properly, understanding who God is, what His potency is, and then one can understand what Krishna is doing here. With His most intimate devotees, He's doing this just to give them an increase of their vatsalya ras, increase of their motherly affection, because this is their great pleasure to see the naughtiness of the children. It brings them great pleasure, especially when the child is this most wonderful and most attractive, amazingly attractively beautiful, intelligent little boy, so beautiful. So here's what the friend said to Mother Yasoda. Our dear friend Yasoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take any more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders, and for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then when the children begin to crying, Krishna will go away. Badmas. So naughty. Krishna is doing this just to increase the incredible transcendental loving ecstasy of the residents of Vrindavan. And that gives him so much pleasure. Here is the Prabhupada's purport. The narration of Krishna's naughty childhood activities would be presented to Mother Yasoda in the form of complaints. Sometimes Krishna would enter the house of a neighbor, and if he found no one there, he would release the calves before the time for the cows to be milked. And what would happen if the cows are full, their milk bags are full, and the cowherd men are just waiting to milk them? And then Krishna would release the calves, who would come and do what? Drink all the milk? The calves are actually supposed to be released when their mothers are milked. But Krishna would release them before that time, and naturally the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. When the cowherd men saw this, they would chase Krishna and try to catch him, saying, "Here is Krishna doing mischief." But he would flee and enter another house, where he would again devise some means to steal butter and curd. Then the cowherd men would again try to capture him, saying, "Here is the butter thief. Better capture him." And they would be angry, but Krishna would simply smile, and they would forget everything. Sometimes in their presence he would begin eating the curd and butter. There was no need for Krishna to eat butter, since his belly was always full, but he would try to eat it, or else he would break the pots and distribute the contents to the monkeys. In this way, Krishna was always engaged in mischief making. If in any house he could not find any butter or curd to steal, he would go into a room and agitate the small children sleeping there by pinching them. And when they cried, he would go away. What kind of God are you worshipping? So naughty. But here, these activities are supremely worshipable by the greatest of sages. Krishna is showing that he is above any rules and regulations. Rules and regulations are for those in the material world. He is transcendental to the material world. He is beyond. Everything he does is good, And therefore he is called the Param Satyam. He is all good. Everything he does brings ecstasy to everyone who participates or even speaks about it or hears about it. He is all good. But the pastimes are very wonderful. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. The gopis said, Mother Yasoda, just hear about your son's mischievous deeds. Just before dawn, your restless son walks about the neighborhood looking for an opportunity to steal some yogurt. Before the milking time, he releases the calves, and they proceed to drink all their mother's milk. When everyone runs hither and thither to catch the calves, Krishna then stealthily enters their houses, steals yogurt, and runs away. One day, when the yogurt thief came, we shouted, "Beat him! Tie him up!" But he just smiled ever so sweetly. And smitten by his intoxicating smile, we forgot everything. Stunned, we just watched him do his dirty work without responding, sitting calmly. So in front of everyone, he ate our milk and butter without even running away, while we stood by, totally bewildered. Bewildered by what?
By his smile.
By his smile. And by his charming, cheeky pastimes and activities. And they just stood stunned in ecstasy. This is the Supreme Lord just playing with his devotees. This is how they were complaining to Mother Yasoda. And Yasoda replied, "In that case, why didn't you just let him eat until his belly was full?" Gopi said, "He is always being fed by you, so he has no hunger. It is not a question of hunger. He has a taste for stealing. He likes to steal milk and yogurt. He does not like it if we give it to him. Being skillful at releasing the calves and at smiling, Krishna steals in two ways, beyond our sight and even before our eyes. Using his intelligence, he finds different ways to steal. One day, even before eating the yogurt himself, he distributed it to all the monkeys. He distributed it to the monkeys, and when all the monkeys had taken their fill and could eat no more, Krishna thought, without you, what is the use of my eating? So I will not eat. Then in anger, he broke the yogurt pots. When he enters a house and does not find any yogurt, he becomes angry at the occupants and says, stay here. I will come back tomorrow morning with a flaming torch in my hand, and if you don't give me some yogurt, I will burn down your house along with your relatives and children. After saying that, Krishna makes the small children cry by scratching them with his nails.
Sounds like a horror child.
Huh?
Sounds like a horror child.
You want to give him some psychological tests? This is amazing. But everything is done in the realm of those who love him. And everything in that realm just simply produces ecstasy in the heart. Because he's so clever and he's so cheeky. And he's so naughty. Unlimitedly clever, unlimitedly cheeky, unlimitedly naughty. And unlimitedly increasing the ecstasy of those gopis and gopas who are dealing with them. But so naughty. If you don't give me some yogurt, I will burn down your house along with your relatives and children. One shouldn't imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is text 30. This is a continued complaint. So they're telling Mother Yasoda these things. This is text 30. When the milk and curd are kept high on a swing hanging from the ceiling, and Krishna and Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortar for grinding spices. Being quite aware of the contents of a pot, they pick holes in it. Because they're clay pots, so they use a sharp object to make holes in it, because the pots are, sometimes they'll keep them high so that no one can get to them, and for an emergency. So Krishna and Balaram will make holes in it. They'll stand on the grinding mortar and make holes in it. They pick holes in the pot with their hands so that the contents would leak out and they would drink it. This was another means for stealing butter and milk. While the butter and milk were kept in a dark room, Krishna and Balaram would go there and make the place bright with the valuable jewels on their bodies. On the whole, Krishna and Balaram engaged in stealing butter and milk from the neighborhood houses in many ways. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to text 30. The gopis continue. O Yasoda, O famous one, because Yasoda, Yasho means fame, Yash, and Da means giver. So Yasoda gives fame, and she is famous. O Yasoda, O famous one, you appear very blissful on hearing the pastimes of your son. It is not only that he steals. Oh, this is the wrong one, excuse me. The gopis continue. Another day he entered a house where the yogurt pot was beyond reach, so he devised a method to get it. Sometimes he piles up chairs, climbs atop a grinding mortar on the shoulders of a friend. Just by seeing the exterior of a pot hanging from the ceiling on a string, he knows its contents. If he cannot loot the pot, he makes a hole in it with a pole having a sharp iron point. He is very learned in all this work, how to put a hole in the pot, how to make the yogurt pour out, and how to open the mouths of the boys so that they can take their fill. Even a dark storeroom is no obstacle for Krishna and his friends. The brilliant jewels on their bodies act as lamps to brighten the room. He knows all the tricks. Yasoda replies, why aren't you more careful? The gopis, your son only comes when everyone is busily engaged in household affairs. Though Krishna has already stolen our hearts with the bewitching power of his gentle smile. What is Krishna's smile compared to? Madhuram, madhuram.
Sweet.
Sweet, yes. What is it compared to? His sweet smile, which is madhuganda, like the mridu smita, very gentle, not a big full toothy smile, but very, very, very gentle and subtle, like the fragrance of honey. Very subtle and sweet. And by that smile, everyone becomes charmed. This is the most charming part of Krishna's face, even his charming smile. He's already stolen our hearts with the bewitching power of his gentle smile, his baby talk, his sweet movements, and his beautiful body. Still, he likes to steal our yogurt on the sly. Before stealing, Krishna sends some boys as spies to find out who's there in the gopis' homes. Text 31. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, more complaints, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. "You're a thief. I'm so angry at you. You're a thief." And Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief. You are a thief." Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. But now, because while they're complaining to Mother Yasoda, Krishna is sitting there right next to Mother Yasoda. But now, our dear friend Yasoda, this expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. Like with a little... I wouldn't do anything like that. He's sitting before you like a very good boy. And sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes so fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yasoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. Prabhupada's purport. Krishna's business in the neighborhood was not only to steal, but sometimes to pass stool and urine in a neat, clean house. When caught by the master of the house, Krishna would chastise him, saying, "You are a thief." Aside from being a thief in his childhood affairs, Krishna acted as an expert thief while he was young by attracting young girls and enjoying them in the rasa dance. This is Krishna's business. He is also violent as the killer of many demons. Although mundane people like non-violence and other such brilliant qualities, God, the absolute truth, being always the same, is good in any activity. Even so-called immoral activities like stealing, killing, and violence, when Krishna does them, Krishna is always pure, and they are always good, and they are always perfect. So Krishna is always pure, and he is always the supreme absolute truth. Krishna may do anything supposedly abominable in material life, yet still he is attractive. Therefore his name is Krishna, meaning all attractive. This is the platform on which transcendental loving affairs and service are exchanged. Because of the features of Krishna's face, the mothers were so attracted they could not chastise him. Instead of chastising him, they smiled and enjoyed hearing of Krishna's activities. Thus the gopis remained satisfied, and Krishna enjoyed their happiness. Therefore, another name of Krishna is Gopi Jana Balava, because he invented such activities to please the gopis. And he invented such activities to give the devotees something to remember, especially the devotees who want to cultivate this specific mood. Here is, we'll read what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says. The gopis continue. "O Yasoda, O famous one, you appear very blissful on hearing the pastimes of your son. It is not only that he steals, he also passes stool and urine in the room set aside for worship, and thus contaminates it. He also pulls the ladies' braids and saris. He kicks them, and he proposes marriage to them." How old is Krishna at this time? 2, 3. "In the future," they say, "this son will bring you lots of wealth. Now he's stealing yogurt, but when he grows up, he will steal others' money and wives. But now he looks very innocent in front of you." Now the result of the gopi's loving criticism is stated. Thinking Yasoda might beat him, Krishna showed fear in his eyes, and his beautiful face trembled. The gopis could not help but look at Krishna's charming face. everything was told to Yasoda, who had become blissful on seeing Krishna's face, which was illuminated with different emotions, and by hearing about his wonderful pranks. Yasoda simply beamed a wide smile, prahasita mukha, but she harbored no desire to scold her son. Yasoda thought, let the gopis drown in bliss by my son's mischief making. And when such incidents are reported to me, let these stories drown me in bliss too. Though not explicitly stated here, this mood should be understood. This is the mood in Vrindavan. Krishna's activities just bring bliss to everyone. But they are certainly very naughty. Supremely naughty. Now the pastime will change. Ekada krida manaste ramadya gopidaraka krishno midam bakshitavan iti matra nyavedayan. One day, ekada, once upon a time, one day while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the gopis, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yasoda. Mother, they submitted, Krishna has eaten dirt. He has eaten earth. There's a purport here. Purport by Prabhupada. Here is another of Krishna's transcendental activities invented to please the gopis. First, a complaint was lodged with Mother Yasoda about Krishna's stealing, but Mother Yasoda did not chastise him. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yasoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented that Krishna had eaten earth. So what does it sound like from Prabhupada's purport? Had Krishna actually eaten earth, dirt or not? All those who think that Krishna had eaten earth, raise your hand. Who's going to commit themselves to one side or the other? Who thinks that Krishna will have three people, three sides? Who thinks Krishna has actually done it? Who thinks that Krishna didn't do it and the boys are just complaining about him? Or who thinks, who's undecided, wants to stay neutral in the middle? Okay. All those who think Krishna actually ate dirt, raise your hand. Okay, there's some. All those who think that Krishna didn't do it, raise your hand. All those who are not sure, raise your hand. Okay. All those who think that Krishna could have done it, but... okay. Because Krishna was eating butter and so many things. He was stealing butter from everyone's house. Now they're complaining he's eating earth, eating dirt. So this pastime is another opportunity. Because Krishna is trying to see if he can get Mother Yasoda excited to see the ecstasy of anger awaken in her. Hare Kirtan, this is... you're not right. You want to go to Vaikuntha, yes? Everything is more ordered there, like in Deutschland. Yes, everything is properly done. Don't go to Vrindavan like that. Let's see, here's a short purport. My Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The taste of maternal affection by the gopis finding fault in Krishna has been completed. This verse presents the taste of astonishment by the criticism of Krishna's friends, which was not... Krishna was not scolded for stealing yogurt, but he was scolded for eating dirt. Both were incited by love. Now, after hearing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, does anyone want to change their vote? Anyway, let's continue. Text 33. Upon hearing this, that Krishna had eaten dirt from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yasoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look in his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows. And there's no purport by Prabhupada over here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Yasoda held Krishna by the hand for fear that he would run away. Though Yasoda scolded him, her intention was to benefit him because she was a mother. She was afraid. He's so naughty. He's eating dirt. He's going to get sick. In this case, scolding and beating nourish the prema, the love. They are not faults. This is the usual habit of a mother towards her son, so it is not unjust. Krishna's eyes became filled with fear. But this fear is an ornament of the law of the Lord caused by prema. It is not a fault. Could have used some better music, though it would have been quite nice, but I'm not sure exactly what kind of music is appropriate for... Huh?
Ice Cream Man is...
That's what it sounds like. So Mother Yasoda said to Krishna, Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this? Purport. Mother Yasoda was agitated by Krishna's restless misbehavior. Her house was full of sweetmeats. Why then should the restless boy eat dirt in a solitary place? Krishna replied, My dear mother, they have plotted together and lodged a complaint against me so that you will punish me. My elder brother Balaram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. My words are true. Take my words as true. Do not be angry and chastise me. So Krishna, they're saying, Krishna, you don't. He said, this is just politics. I didn't do anything, but Balaram has joined the other side. The boys are angry. They want you to chastise me. Please don't believe them. Don't be angry. Don't chastise me. Krishna was afraid by this time. Here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's short comment. Yasoda said, O one with restless body and mind, did you eat dirt? Did you not get sweets in my house? Not in my presence, but stealthily you have done it. Your friends are saying this, so it cannot be false. These are your friends, these aren't your enemies. And Balaram also. You cannot say that they are speaking against you because they want me to beat you, because even Baladev is saying this. He is standing right here saying this. There is no doubt about it. Text 35. Lord Krishna replied, Oh my mother, my dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look in my mouth and examine it. Because there, proof will be there. If Krishna has eaten dirt, look in his mouth and you'll see. Prabhupada's purport. Krishna presented himself as an innocent child to increase the transcendental ecstasy of maternal affection. As described in the Shastra, Tadhana Bhayan Mityoktya Vatsalya Rasa Posika. This means that sometimes a small child speaks lies. For example, he may have stolen something or eaten something and yet deny that he has done so. We ordinarily see this in the material world, but in relation to Krishna it is different. Such activities are meant to endow the devotee with transcendental ecstasy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was playing as a liar and accusing the other devotees of being liars. So what does it seem like here from Prabhupada's purport? He has eaten dirt or he has not eaten dirt? Huh? It sounds like it there from Prabhupada's purport. We'll continue. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krita Punja Punja, a devotee may attain such an ecstatic position after many, many births of devotional service. Persons who have amassed the results of vast amount of pious activities can attain the stage of associating with Krishna and playing with him like ordinary playmates. One should not consider these transactions of transcendental service to be untruthful accusations. One should never accuse such devotees of being ordinary boys speaking lies, for they attain this stage of associating with Krishna by great austerities. Tapasa brahmacharya na samena cha tamena cha. Here is Vishwanath Chakravarti. Prabhupada is reminding us again and again, this is not ordinary, this is extraordinary. Sakyam vicharukrita punja punja. They've attained this state of being able to play with this incredibly beautiful, fully transcendental little boy after having performed devotional piety for many births. They've attained this perfection of love and devotional service. So Krishna in the text says, no, I have not done it. They are lying. You can look in my mouth and see. And here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's short comment. Krishna said, I did not eat dirt. To tell a lie for fear of being beaten is natural for a child, very similar to Prabhupada's comment. And it nourishes the vatsalya bhav, parental affection. Vatsalya and other rasas spring from prema, and prema rests within a devotee's heart. It arises in the devotee because of Krishna's inherent affection for his devotee. Prema comes due to Krishna's natural affection for his devotee. Natural, inherent. As bhakti is naturally within the heart of every living entity, the love of the devotees of God is naturally within the heart of Krishna. The Lord's quality of bhakta vatsal is greater than any of his other spiritual qualities, such as purity, mercy, or truthfulness. There's that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Aishwarya madhurya kurune surupa purnata bhakta vatsalya atma parjanta vidanyataha. But this is the highest of all the qualities, the most important of all qualities. It's Krishna's love for his devotees. It will be exhibited later. How Krishna, well, I won't tell you, but it will come later. Now here's the last two lines of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. As Krishna's telling a lie springs from his bhakta vatsal, it is not a fault. Rather, it is the crown jewel of all great qualities. He's increasing his mother's ecstasy. 36. Mother Yasoda challenged Krishna. If you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide. And when challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Yasoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed. For Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. Purport. Without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection, Krishna opened his mouth and displayed his own natural opulence. When his person is given varieties of food, there may be hundreds, maybe 101 varieties, but if one likes ordinary shak, spinach. He prefers to eat that. Similarly, although Krishna was full of all of opulences, now, by the order of Mother Yasoda, he opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humor of maternal affection. So Krishna opened his mouth ordinarily, but Krishna's internal energy, his opulent energy, as the verse describes, it manifests automatically by its own will. 36, we'll read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport and then we'll stop. Being afraid of punishment, Krishna told a lie so that Yasoda could not detect his fault. What was his fault? What is it? Though it's not stated directly, what does it appear as fault to us? It appears so from these comments. However, how could he do this? If Krishna were to open his mouth, the evidence would be found. So what to do? He had to open his mouth because his mother had ordered him to do so. His mother, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything rests within him, as we'll be seeing in a moment. But if he didn't open his mouth, his mother would become angry at him and think, oh, Krishna has lied, he has eaten dirt. And if he did open his mouth, the evidence would be seen, the dirt in his mouth. So what happens? If Krishna were to open his mouth, the evidence would be found, the answer is given. Krishna possesses the unimpeded, non-contradictory power of avyahata aishwarya. He whose power is never conquered does not display this power because of the influence of the sweetness of love. But looking for service, that power finds some opportunity. And inspired by the boy's power of Satya Sankalpa, whose very desire must be fulfilled, this unimpeded Aishwarya on its own manifested the universal form. And Yasoda, lost in astonishment, forgot to scold her child. So there was a problem for Krishna. And the problem was solved. He was in a quandary, so to speak, and Krishna's opulence, looking for an opportunity to do some service, save the day by displaying the universal form within Krishna's mouth. And there Mother Yasoda saw that and she became astonished. Was it necessary for Krishna to taste the sweetness of prema and thus have to show fear of being beaten? He could have stood there without fear, taking the help of his Aishwarya Shakti, thinking, I am the Lord. The answer is found in the words Krida Pradhana Manuja Balika, which means that Krishna specifically took the form of a human child to perform many playful, sweet pastimes in Braja. So we'll hear tomorrow, Krishna willing, what Mother Yasoda saw and how she dealt with this. Her boy, the ecstasy of her relationship with Krishna. This will be glorified. The power of her love for Krishna will be glorified to the highest degree. So much so that we heard in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say previously that all we can do is offer the most humble of obeisances in glorification of Mother Yasoda. We'll hear how she responds. Her boy, who the sweetness of her love is there, and he opens his mouth and she sees the universal form manifest by the Lord's Aishwarya Shakti, his potency. And how is she going to react to this? Her love, she can't tolerate seeing him in any other way except as her son. Just like if you have a friend and your friend is a billionaire, But you grew up with him. And we talked about this when I was in Christchurch. I found it was an interesting example. If you had a friend that you grew up with, and somehow or another he became the Bill Gates of Australia or something like that, and he became a billionaire. But you grew up with him. So you have a natural, friendly relationship with him. And then if you met him, you would have your naturally friendly relationship, but every time you were aware of that he was a billionaire, what thought would come to your mind being a poor fellow?
Inferiority.
Huh? Inferiority. Oh, yes, but what else would you be thinking? How to remove that inferiority. Yes? You'd be thinking, oh, how could I get some money from him? You just have to. So that thought, how can I get some money from him, would that get in the way of your love for him? Because love means you want to just exchange your affection. But as soon as you are aware of his opulence, it would ruin the relationship with him, the love. It's just natural. So Mother Yasoda, her love is so powerful. How is she going to deal with the fact that her son is just revealing that he's God? By opening his mouth and she's seeing the universal form. How is Mother Yasoda? There's going to be a fight going on between Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti, his power, and her love. And we know who's going to win that fight, because her love is so strong. This is the specific nature of the love of Vrindavan, of the residents of Vrindavan. It is so overwhelmingly strong that it cannot tolerate, even though it may know Krishna's opulence, it suppresses it, because it cannot exist simultaneously with that. So that's why Krishna has so much bhaktivatsalya, love for the residents of Vrindavan, because they have so much, exceedingly much love for him. Just imagine a person who really, how strong that person's love would have to be for that billionaire old friend, that the thought that he was a billionaire never could enter your consciousness and disturb the actual affection that you had for him. How strong that love would have to be. Okay, so if Krishna allows, we shall continue tomorrow. But this is not the kind of a class, I think, to bring new guests to. So don't bring your new guests tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Mother Yasoda's love for Krishna Ki Jai. All the Brijbasis' love for Krishna Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.